You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, Mad Men is in its final season, and you'll hear from the show's co-producer, who quite possibly is the heartbeat of the show. We'll explain why your kids would rather eat bugs than vegetables. Hey, we've got ourselves a rock star on the program. And how is it possible to be allergic to water? Let's meet the friend. That's right, singular. And singularly out of this world, it's Chris Martin.
Thank you for referring to me as a rock star, Phil. I appreciate that.
Come on.
If you believe there is life out there beyond the stars, you are not alone. And now, we might have a timeline for proving it.
Ooh. That's it. Nobody else in the studio. Aaron will be back next week. And welcome to the program. A busy, packed show today. So why don't we get things started? And Chris, I have no other choice but then to start with you. And you say we're going to prove that there's alien life out there?
That's what NASA says.
NASA is saying it?
NASA is saying it. Not only NASA, but NASA's chief scientist.
Really?
Yeah, I believe his name is Chief, actually.
Chief?
Yeah, he has come out and he has said that he thinks we will have strong indications of life beyond Earth within the next decade.
Is that a pull quote, or are you paraphrasing?
I think that's 10 years.
That is 10 years. Yeah.
That's a little bit paraphrased, but
in our lifetime.
Exact.
I think that what they're waiting, the aliens are waiting for us to get the robot thing together, right? To where the robots start thinking and for themselves and taking over sectors of the planet. And then when that happens, then the aliens will say, okay, fine, we'll come down and we'll use the robots to help us in our domination of Earth.
Oh, okay. So, because I thought you were going the direction that the aliens would come down and help save us from the robots.
Like no,
maybe they're
no,
good aliens. In your versions, everybody's evil. The robots, the aliens.
We're in the way. I mean, domination is what it's all about, even if you're an alien, right?
Yeah.
That's why when you show up.
By the old horror movie.
Well, look, in all
standard.
The movies, the aliens show up and we start shooting at them. You can't take a chance that they're going to be friendly.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. If they show up, I would hope that we'd be diplomatic about it and they'd be diplomatic about it, but I guess they could just be mean Klingons and shoot lasers into the planet and then we got a problem.
Diplomacy out there in alien world is just another way of saying naive.
Hmm. Let me give you a little bit more on this before our imaginations run too far with what these aliens might look like.
Yep.
The chief scientist says, by the way, he thinks we'll have definitive evidence within the next 20 to 30 years. And we're not talking about Star Trek, X-Files type of extraterrestrials, but alien life, like, microbes and stuff.
Yeah.
Little things that squirrel around in the water. I mean, we've already found evidence of water on places as close as Jupiter's moon, which really isn't that far if you consider we're already going to Mars.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing he says is that once we go beyond Mars, the materials on the celestial bodies that are not similar to Earth's. So the chances of having life different than ours is very high, which makes him excited because, you know, if you go there, you don't want to see your standard tadpole. You want to see alien life.
Yes.
You want to see something we've never seen before.
That's right. I don't want to see a little pool of primordial stuff.
Yeah.
Stew.
Or anything we've already seen. You know, you get there and you see a ladybug and you're like, oh, I've seen that.
All right. Here's what we can glean from the NASA. What's his name again? Chief Scientist?
Chief Scientist.
Yeah. Here's what we can glean from Mr. Scientist. When he says we'll discover alien life within a decade, he's just throwing that out there to soften the blow because they've already discovered alien life and they've known about it for a couple of decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're
old red herring.
We're just about ready for it, and so they're going to give us 10 years to warm up to the idea.
Yeah, they're easing us into it. And then, so you're saying that when they do discover this alien life, that they will start being...
They already have.
Oh, okay, right. So when they release to the public that they've discovered it, do you think they'll open the doors to, like, Area 51 and get real honest about Roswell and all of that?
Well, that might pale in comparison to what they've discovered since then.
Oh, yeah.
We may not care about Roswell when we find out that there's, you know, that aliens have super hot aliens or something like that. Maybe they're really, you know...
That'd be cool.
They're sweet on us.
If they're, I wonder if they would be humanoid looking or if they'd look like you see in the movies where they're like, yak, yak, and they're green and big black eyes.
I don't know. Why do you think they, when they abduct people, they always have to probe us?
Yeah, you think their technology would be better, you know?
No, I just think it's because they're sweet on us.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because they're twisted a little bit. You know, you imagine them up there in their spaceship, and they're like, okay, let's use the Konica Minolta body scanner.
Yeah,
and then the guy goes, you know what? Hang on. Why don't we get an egg beater and do it that way?
And this is why, when they arrive, it's our first instinct to shoot at them.
Yes, yeah, because
they're using egg beaters on us.
Start probing.
We don't want that up our behinds.
No.
No. All right. Stupid aliens. All right, so what else?
I'm going to be friendly with them, by the way.
Are you?
I'm going to be diplomatic.
Yeah, you can play a round of golf with them?
Maybe that's naive. That's the first place I'm going to take them. I'm going to say, you see, look how much fun we have on this planet. We could go to places like Augusta, Georgia, and play on some of the most beautiful landscapes
Your Big Bertha out of the bag, and then that alien's laser eyes is going to melt it
right
there in your hands because he's going to think it's a weapon.
Yeah, he's like, "What? You just pulled out a club, now you're getting probed."
Mm-hmm. And then, with those alien eyes, he's going to take his golf ball, make it levitate, and then he's going to figure out the coordinates in his head and make that ball, without striking it with a club, zoom down the fairway and land in the cup.
And then that's when I freak out and my diplomacy ends.
Yes.
Diplomacy will be over at
that
point.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You get in your cart and hightail it.
But we are talking about golf, and it's one of my favorite subjects. And this weekend, literally, it's probably the greatest golf tournament to watch on television. The guys are over at Augusta National, and the tournament started with a lot of noise, Phil.
Oh, this is the Masters, right?
It's the Masters, yeah. It's the first major of the season for these guys. And it started with a lot of noise, not just because Tiger's playing, which is huge in its own right, but yesterday, Jack Nicklaus, who is arguably the greatest golfer to ever live, hit a hole-in-one at the par 3 contest on the
fourth
hole.
What is he, 90?
He's 71 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he popped one right in the hole.
Wow.
And the crowd went nuts. The players all congratulated. The players on the other holes stopped what they were doing, walked over to congratulate him. So that was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, obviously Tiger Woods is playing. He hasn't played since the beginning of the season. Didn't play most of last season.
Yeah, I read it. He started off with a bang. His first hole, he stroked a bogey, huh?
He did. He bogeyed the first hole. Then he came back. He birdied the second hole. Okay. Now he's 7 or 8 holes into the tournament. He's at 1 over, which is 6 shots off the lead.
That's just not bad for a guy who was written off and not even in the top 100 ranking.
Yeah, a lot of the analysts around there are saying that he's been playing well in practice rounds, but once you get there and under the microscope, see how he performs under pressure. The lead is held by Charlie Hoffman and the Brit Justin Rose, by the way, at 5 under, and Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, Bubba Watson, all these guys that golf enthusiasts know are in the mix. They're up there on the leaderboard.
All right, good. So we'll keep an eye on Tiger and the Masters and all of that and see who ends up winning the thing. I don't suspect Tiger's going to win, but can you imagine if he did win, what that would do for his shot in the arm for the comeback? Tiger, back from the dead. Not going to happen, but could you imagine if it did?
Yeah, I if he won, I imagine it would do a lot for his career and make him pretty popular.
Yeah, all right.
You know, his popularity would skyrocket.
You know, it's been a weird winter across the country. With these deep freezes and just super storms, the kind of, once in 100 years cold storms in the Northeast and in several pockets of the country. But here in Southern California, where people believe we enjoy 75-degree weather every day of the week, of the year for that matter, it hasn't been that way. And we can't get a drink of water to water our front lawn anymore.
Yeah, we don't have the polar vortex or didn't get hit by it like the rest of the country because our friends over there at the Rockies help push that away. But in California, we're not exempt from this bizarre weather that's been happening. You know, 3 weeks ago, we were in the high 90s. I had to get my air conditioner fixed because I was sweating and my air conditioner wasn't working. 2 days ago, we finally got some much-needed rain that we're barely seeing any of. In April. And now today, we're issued a freeze warning in L.A. County. The temperatures are going to dip into the 20s and 30s and are expected to damage unprotected crops and exposed pipes. So if you don't have your pipes insulated, get on it. And if you got to cover your tomatoes, better do that too.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's what my dad used to tell me too. It was just fatherly advice.
Cover your pipes.
Cover your tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
That's what he used to say.
Yeah. By the way, that spring storm from a couple of days ago did dump some snow on the Sierras, up 3% from a week ago, but no appreciable impact on the drought.
Yeah. We've been having a drought for so many years now that we've got to have like Uber storms every day of the week for about 3 years. Isn't
something like 4 trillion gallons of water we need to overcome the drought that
we're
in.
Where's it gone? You know where all the water is? We should just go to the grocery store and buy it off the shelves.
Yeah, there's plenty of it there.
It's all in bottles. All that water we need? You know, forget the snowpack in the Sierras. Just go to Ralph's.
Well, you know, in all honesty, Phil, don't you think that that's going to be the solution? If this water naturally doesn't turn around, we're going to end up having to pay for it and ship it in from somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're paying for
maybe
it
now. Maybe not in bottles.
We'll just have to pay more for it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry Brown last week, he did a mandatory 25% cut on water usage.
Yeah, well, I forgot to hear that.
Yeah, well, you might not be one of the offenders.
Am I gonna get a note in the mail telling me what the rules are?
The guy in the little green car with the single siren on top comes by.
Oh, the water police? Yeah. Or am I supposed to just know this? Because, you know, they say ignorance is no excuse.
Oh, I thought it was bliss.
It is, but it's no excuse when it comes to the law. Oh, officer, I didn't know. Steve Martin used to say, you just say these words, I forgot, and that should absolve you. But how can you forget something you didn't know? Well, ignorance is not an excuse. I didn't know that I have to do anything differently with my water.
Well, you do now. See, you can't plead that anymore. No. I just told you, Phil.
What did you tell me?
There you go.
Hey, you know anybody that's a spoiler? You know, they watch your favorite show and then they tell you what happened before you get a chance to watch it because you DVR everything?
Yeah.
Well, Google has an evil plan to send shocks up and down the spine of those spoilers. I don't know what it is. They have an anti-spoiler program in the works, and I have some of the early details about it. We'll tell you about it next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You're listening to a pretty darn happening program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Chris Martin is here, and this is how happening we are. You want to know?
Happening. By the way, real quick, Phil.
What's that?
You are happening, and I want to congratulate you. I was surfing through social media last night, and I saw that it looks like you got a new gig with Gene Simmons, and I applaud
you. And Paul Stanley and Doc McGee, if you know who that is. Yeah, those boys over there, they own a arena football league team called the L.A. Kiss.
Yeah.
Maybe you've heard about them.
Sure.
And they play in the same building where the Anaheim Ducks play, and Honda Center in Anaheim, California. But they're still the L.A. Kiss, Los Angeles Kiss. And I'm the new public address announcer, and thank you for bringing that up.
Congratulations to you.
Well, thanks. They've played a couple of road games, and the first home game of the season is this Saturday against the Las Vegas Outlaws, owned by another prominent rock star from years gone by, Vince Neil, who was the front man for Motley Crue.
Yeah, rock stars are all over this arena football. Doesn't Bon Jovi own a team?
Does he?
I think he's got at least partial investment in one. But, you know, now I might have to check this arena football out because I've always heard it's so fast-paced. They go for it on fourth downs, all that. It's got to be fun to be in there watching it.
40 to 60 points a game.
Yeah, right.
Because the field is half the size, and there really is no out-of-bounds. They bounce off the walls on the side, and they go for it on fourth down every time.
Yeah, and the guys are talented. I mean, these are still athletes out there, professional level
athletes.
The
hardest thing to do, and in hiring me as public address announcer, the LA Kiss had a problem with the salary cap, so they had to dump their kicker. But the problem that they have is the kickers. The goalposts in arena football, they're like 5 feet apart.
Oh, they're skinny.
Yeah, they are. They're skinny and tall.
Yeah.
And the kickers they miss their extra points a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not in it for the extra points, right? Except for if they do miss it, that makes it more exciting.
But screw that. The ball bounces off the net, and somebody can grab it and go run with it.
Oh, great. Yeah. Hey, did you get a chance to meet Gene Simmons? Does he get involved with your hiring?
Well, not yet. I suspect at some point I'll have a chance to do a halftime interview with either he or Paul or both of them, because that'll be my role to not only announce the what's happening in game, but to also, well, whoop up the crowd a bit, but also go down and interview some of the players and maybe the coach and perhaps the owners.
Yeah, help with the PR and stuff. And when you say whoop up the crowd,
yeah,
what are we? Because I'm thinking that they probably operate a little differently, and that they might be asking you to be like, "Are you guys ready to rock?"
Well, yeah,
is it going to be like that?
Yeah, there might be some power screaming going on, but the other thing is that when you watch arena football, there's a touch of pro wrestling.
Yeah, there's some theatrics in there.
Yeah, a little bit of that. You know, the coach is right down there on the field, walking in, you know, in the middle of the in between plays to talk to the referee, and you know, there's a lot of fun going on, and the cheerleaders are all the you know,
super hot,
or you know, part time cheerleaders, and full time something else,
right?
Just super hot, but they're out there, you know, working ladies.
And when you talk about being down there on the field, are you going to be where you traditionally would broadcast a Ducks game
from? If I were there, I would get killed.
Yeah, you would catch a football in the dome.
Yeah, or a helmet.
Right.
Right in the face. No, I'm up. There's a stage, and they have bands, rock and roll bands, playing before the game starts. In fact, this Saturday. And you know what's remarkable to me is that it's not all that much money for a season ticket. And you have 9 or 10 home games, and you can buy tickets for the whole family, and you're in.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of season tickets, yeah. You know, now that you're the PA announcer and all, what kind of deals you get on?
Oh,
those?
Well, you know what? I got to find out about that. Yeah. See if I can get snag a couple of tickets here and there.
Well, in all seriousness, man, congratulations. Sounds like
Thanks.
Fun.
It is going to be
fun. Check it out.
It is going to be fun. And shortly after that press release went out, it was made known to me. Not in a vision, but in an email, that next week I will speak with Jesus Christ.
Well,
it is true. I will.
Quite an interview.
Yes, and you will hear our candid conversation on this program next week.
Awesome.
And no, I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I would love to hear
And he's a hunky Jesus Christ, too.
He always looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lightly bearded, mm-hmm. nice long hair.
Yeah.
He's in good shape, carpenter.
The beard, it's almost like a miracle. It stays nicely coiffed, right?
Yeah, it's perfectly maintained. And I don't think that they really had razors or shavers back then.
By the way, it's the guy who plays Jesus Christ on that NBC show.
Oh, it's not the real Jesus Christ.
A.D. No. I keep those conversations private. But there will be a public conversation with with the guy who plays Jesus Christ on TV.
That's cool. I saw some of that. I saw some of that Bible series, A.D., yeah. mm-hmm. The Story Continues.
Yeah, and, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And you'll hear from him next week.
Cool.
All right. So that's how Hattonin we are. We're Hattonin Show here. Oh, and you know who else is a big deal? It's Google. And if you're sick and tired of spoilers, you know what that is? These are people that tell you what happened in your favorite TV show or movie before you had a chance to see it. Google might have your back. They just got a patent for some kind of anti-spoiler software that would track your TV or movie viewing progress and filter out information on things that you haven't watched yet. You know, when you're watching TV and they play a promo, you know, like let's say you watch Survivor or The Amazing Race and people get eliminated every week. So let's say you're watching CBS, because both of those programs are on CBS, and there's a promo for David Letterman, who's also on CBS. And they say, tonight, David with the latest ousted Survivor contestant. And they show a picture of the person, and you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
So Google's got this filter figured out that would track your watching and make sure that you don't see those things. And I don't know how it works exactly, but and it sounds like they can only track things that you're watching on streaming services for now. We'll see about broadcast, but they'll figure it out. They're smart guys over there.
Is there a streaming service that's Chromecast?
Well, like Netflix, Amazon. Chromecast would be another one. Sure. Yeah. Do you have that?
I don't know. Yeah, no. I've got rabbit ears still.
I've got the Netflix and the Chromecast, and I think my daughter has the is Amazon Prime. Is that what that is? Yeah, and then you get the TV streaming with it. But the list for now in terms of stuff that can be filtered does not include Facebook or Twitter, and it should, right? Which seems pretty useless if it doesn't, because that's where all the spoilers are.
Yeah, and those are two of the largest outlets available.
And also, there's no word when we'll actually see this idea come into reality, so what is the point?
Wonder how long it'll take them to work the bugs out, if it just starts kicking off stuff you want to see also.
Yeah, right. I don't know, but here's something. You know who Louis C.K. is, the comedian?
Yeah,
very
I know.
Funny guy.
Real well, yeah. He's
a very funny guy.
Top of his game.
And he is, considering that English is not his first language.
That's wild.
It's his second language. Did you know that Louis C.K. lived in Mexico until he was 7 and spoke Spanish fluently?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Does he still speak Spanish fluently?
I would imagine he does.
Yeah, because you always hear that, like, well, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, true,
and I wonder
yeah.
if that happened to him.
Yeah, French was my first language, and when I was about 2 or so, my grandmother told my mom and dad, you got to teach that boy how to speak English. We're in America. And so, yeah, then it was 100% English immersion, and I forgot all my French.
You don't know any of it.
Well, I took 3 or 4 years of French in school, and I don't know any of it, no.
Yeah, still just the basics.
I think, like, I can order a ham sandwich if I were on the Champs-Élysées, and I know the difference. There was a news babe here in Los Angeles who was on TV, and you know what? She didn't say Champs-Élysées, and I'm not going to say her name because she may be.
Was it Aaron Myers?
No, it wasn't. Oh, a friend of hers might tip her off to the fact that I'm bringing this back up again. But she said the Chomps Easy Lay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your pronunciation is excellent. So yeah. at least you still have that going
for
you.
Well, thank you very much. And you know who's going to be back next week is Manny the Movie Guy. He's still in the Philippines, and we hope he'll make it back in time to watch his favorite boxer.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah. So since he's not here, we have a guest movie reviewer. A female movie reviewer.
Ooh.
To tell you what to look for and what to avoid this weekend at the Cineplex. And that's coming up next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. Aaron will be back next week. And it's a busy program. Manny the Movie Guy will be back next week as well, but it is right now time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. And joining us live is our guest movie reviewer today, podcaster on the Long and Late Movie Show, heard on iTunes and all the usual places where you get your podcast. Shira Selko is here. Hi.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Doing good. Do you say it's Shira or is it She-Ra?
It is. Well, if it's Shira on a normal day, and then when I'm fighting crime, it's She-Ra.
I like that. Right. Yes, right. Okay. Look out for Red Sonja. I heard she's a real bitch.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I got to tell you, Shira, looking at the new movies opening tomorrow, there's not a lot going on in terms of a bit wide release. I don't even know what The Longest Ride is. Do you?
I do, actually. It is a chance for me to look at a shirtless Scott Eastwood for nearly 2 hours.
Whoa.
And
I'm in.
Yeah,
are you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's all you need to know. It's actually, you know, it's a Nicholas Sparks movie, or it's based on a Nicholas Sparks book, I should say.
Yeah.
Of Notebook, the Notebook fame.
Oh, that? Okay. So I saw The Notebook, and I actually, you know, as a grown man, enjoyed The Notebook quite a bit. In fact, I might have weeped up a little bit while I was watching it.
You had a little head tilt moment?
Yeah, there were a couple of those. I mean, I felt bad for James Garner.
Oh, of course.
Definitely. And he was a stud as a young guy, right? Because that's how the movie worked. And he was
Ryan Gosling as a kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not everybody gets to do that.
No, they don't.
Ryan Gosling in The Longest Ride along with this Eastman dude? Who is that again, Chris?
I've never seen him before, but he looks like a stud.
It's Clint Eastwood's kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's his son. They look a lot alike.
This is why we have movie people on to tell us about movies, because frankly, I don't have a clue as to what's good and what's not. And so you're telling me this movie is good. So he's shirtless. What is he, on a horse, like on one of those romance novels?
Yeah, he's a cowboy, and he does rodeos, and this girl that he meets is very corporate, and they come from different worlds, that old chestnut.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a love story, so, you know, there's going to be some steamy love scenes, hopefully, mm-hmm. and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, okay.
Alan Alda's in it. Did you see that?
Yeah, he's hot, too.
Well,
he's the real draw. Uh-huh. He's the real draw.
Yeah, all right. Hey, let me ask you this, Shira.
Yes.
I mean, pretty much everybody said last week the Furious 7 would do $150 million in its opening weekend. It did almost $148 million. But it will be at $200 million by tomorrow, if my calculations are accurate. Do you expect Hollywood to try to clone that movie, or is Vin Diesel and his crew on hallowed ground?
Yeah, I think the latter. I mean, I think that you wish for a franchise like this, you know, like a 7-film blockbuster franchise like this. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, it is phenomenal. I will be seeing it again this weekend.
Wow, really? That's high praise.
It's phenomenal. I mean, it's wonderful. It's something for everyone. It's hilarious. The action scenes are great. It's touching. Head tilt at the end for sure. I was crying.
Oh, good. But if you like the cars and the races and crazy stuff like that, then that's good as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
But dialogue also, Shira. The dialogue's there. There's some good talking back and forth.
There is. There's great banter. You know, Tyrese and Ludacris are really funny together. The way they play off each other. Yeah, it's definitely a total package.
How many of these can they make? Are we going to see a Furious 15, for instance?
Oh, I mean, if anyone's reading my dream journal, we will. But ooh. I.
All right. it's like how many James Bond movies are we going to see? I mean, is it in that category?
You know what? I wish. I feel like, you know, when you see this one, you kind of feel like this is it. I mean, there's definitely the feeling that that they've wrapped it all up, but they definitely also left it open. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, anything is possible. With Paul Walker gone, I think it's tough, but it would be great if they kept it going.
Now, everything else that's opening this weekend is just in a handful of movies, as far as I can tell. What are you watching? Ex Machina? Is that what you're going to watch?
I am going to watch Ex Machina, or however they're saying
Machina.
It. Oh, that's the Hebrew pronunciation.
Yes, exactly. I don't know how to say it.
I will be watching that. It looks pretty awesome.
What is that about?
It's about a artificial intelligence. So this dude, and I forget who it is. Is it Oscar Isaac, maybe, who creates this artificial intelligence being who is like so realistic? And then they bring this dude out. They bring this cat out to the training center, I guess, or wherever they've developed this piece of AI, and it, you know, all hell breaks loose. And I think that she's a seductress, and it's like, who do I trust, the AI or the human?
Yeah,
it should be pretty cool.
But yeah. But the robot is like a fembot, right?
Yeah,
and she's like a totally hot fembot, exactly.
Yeah, that's where I think many of us want robots to go.
I'd be fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks dark and twisted. The movie, you know, just based on the preview.
Agreed. Yeah, it almost looks like it's going to be like a, what do you call it, psychological thriller in a way,
right,
too. Like there's going to
be
some mind games. Yeah. So
now, how many movies have used this laboratory with the glass walls that are all backlit and the and the, you know, the lit ceiling and all of that? You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to know who's cleaning the glass. I mean,
yes.
Because there is never one smudge or one fleck of dirt on it.
Yes.
But it is a frequented set, from what I can tell.
Right. They either have the disease that's going to wipe out planet Earth, or they're making robots, or there's something in there. Every single darn movie has that. All right. So if you're not
right, I even think Loki was in there in the Thor movie.
Yes, exactly. I got to build a wing on my house. It looks like
you
that.
Have to.
Now you got the shirtless guy on the horse. You've got the fembot, and so essentially what you're saying is we should sit tight and wait for Mall Cop 2 to open next week.
Absolutely, you should. My podcast mate, Russell Hanline, a huge fan of Paul Blart. He cannot wait for it to come out.
Yeah.
I hope it tops 150 million as well.
You know what? As goofy as Mall Cop sounds, it's just me talking, or is it everybody? It wasn't a bad movie the first time.
It really wasn't. It was recently on TBS, one of those Saturday afternoon things. And I rewatched it and definitely laughed out loud.
Yeah, you know, I would have thought by now we'd all be riding Segways on the sidewalk and in the bike lanes, but we're not.
Oh.
I mean, usually movies that are popular, they infect our social culture and fashion, and people pick up on it. Are Segways just way too expensive?
I think that's what it is, quite honestly. I'll never forget when Back to the Future came out. And my brother called Toys R Us to ask for a hoverboard.
Yes.
I think, you know, once you find out the price, it kind of turns people off.
This is what I like in a movie reviewer, Shira, is that you can straddle just about any topic and ride it all the way through the show. And I like that.
Is that a Scott Eastwood pun? That was pretty good.
Yes, it is. The Long and Late Movie Show. Tell us about that and why we should listen to it on iTunes and all the other podcast places.
Absolutely. So it's just three crazy kids getting together every week to talk about new releases. We try to see everything that comes out, independent films and big blockbuster releases. We play games. We usually do a Facebook question of the week, We have I do my Sour Patch quiz, which is very lovely. If you are into movie trivia,
I'm into Sour Patches.
They're delicious, right?
Yes, they are.
Is that your favorite movie candy?
I think so. Sometimes I'll drop them in my super like 64 ounce Coke too, just to see what happens.
Then when you get to the bottom, you eat them.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
You know when you're making your way over to your seats and your feet stick to the floor, that's my fault.
That's you. Yeah, you've done that.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, so we have a great time together. We record every Monday night, and we would love it if you gave us a listen and gave us feedback. Follow us on Twitter as well.
All right, there you go. The Long and Late Movie Show. Shira Selko, thank you very much for giving us the heads up on the movies this weekend.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care now. Hey, coming up, a bona fide rock star joins us live right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
This is a big day.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you very much for doing that, and we're having a good time today. It's a packed show. In the second hour, our tech guy joins us live. We haven't a clue yet what he's talking about. He's working up some serious tech programming for you, and we'll twist your brain with it. Josh Weltman is the co-producer of Mad Men. He has a book out that will teach you how to seduce anybody you meet. Like all the right. ad guys do. Mm-hmm. All the advertising guys, they know how to do that. You watch Mad Men at all?
Yeah, I've seen the show a couple of times, but we're not talking about being able to seduce women. Does he teach us how to do that,
well,
too?
You know what? Pretty much getting people to feel like you're making them happy when you're talking to them, and that's the trick. That's half the trick right there. If people feel happy when you're talking to them, they're more likely to do what you want them to.
All right. I'm interested.
Are you?
Yeah, let's do this.
Good. That's happening for sure. All right. Let's see. Couple things, just to review. What I'm looking at here, I've got a couple of things to tell you. Oh, here you go. You have a college degree, don't you?
I do. I'm very proud of my college degree. Technically, I have two of them.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
What do you? You have a
an associate's and a bachelor's.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I've got a bachelor's degree and a whole heck of life experience, a heck of a lot of that. But only 6.7% of the people in the world have a college degree.
Wow.
6.7%.
That is way lower than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, makes me feel really good about being in that small yet illustrious club.
Yes.
Does it make you feel good about yourself?
Yeah, how about that? We're in the club.
Yeah. Yeah, the college degree club.
How about that?
Nice.
All right, I'm going to name a band, and you tell me if they were punk, new wave, ska, pop, rock, or something completely different. Oh, never mind that. Actually, I'll tell you what they were, a phenomenon, and the biggest band of their time, and perhaps they continue to be one of the biggest bands in this time. And joining us live is the man who played guitar through all of that success, and here to talk about his movie, which is based on his memoir. It's called Can't Stand Losing You, Surviving the Police. That's the band we're talking about. Hello to Mr. Andy Summers. Sir, a
hi
pleasure there. To speak with you.
Yeah, hi.
It's a distinct honor, honestly. There really never was a great big box to put the police in. You were not a bunch of angry bottle-breaking punks, were you?
Not really. It was a nice mask to start with, but it wasn't the truth.
Yeah. Right. No, it wasn't. It is striking because you had a sound that was groundbreaking at the time, because we had the punk sound, we had the new wave sound, and the hard rock bands were struggling to figure out where they were going to go next, and then there was the pop music sound, and somehow your music straddled all of that and just became bigger than life.
Yeah. Well, we were lucky. We were very lucky to meet each other. And obviously, you know, this meeting, random meeting, produced a chemistry that, you know, I guess a lot of people look for, but it was completely non-formulaic. I mean, I guess our credo was that we just didn't really want to sound like anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly you did not. Stuart Copeland was the drummer, and Sting, of course. And the music was enduring. Had you ever dreamed that you would be part of, I guess, the fabric of popular music?
No. Well, I guess, like, you know, if you grow up in England with all this stuff that goes growing up in the UK, maybe it's a sort of a dream that you're supposed to get there, but, you know, very few people do. And, you know, I guess we all grew up with the Beatles and that as the model. Certainly in the Police, when we started in the middle of the punk scene, we were just hoping to stay alive and, you know, get a gig and be a decent band. Where it went, of course, was we didn't even imagine that. So it was all incredible.
And the timing was so right because it seemed like, at least here in America, and I can't speak for how things were in the UK and in other parts of the world, we were thirsting for new sounds at the time.
Well, you know, it's an interesting moment because we did come out of that scene, and obviously it sparked the interest of the people in the U.S. and the media in the U.S., like, what's this punk thing that's happening in London? And so sort of historically what happened is we did come over right in the middle of all that and played at CBGB's, and we were following on the tails of the Sex Pistols, of course, who'd come over and just about scared the wits out of every radio station in the U.S. And then we turned up with this great song called Roxanne, and we're out of the punk scene, but we're, you know, let's say more approachable. We could articulate our feelings well at the radio stations, and, you know, all these things sort of combined to get us started.
Right. The personalities were great, but let's focus on the personalities for a moment, because as often happens with rock and roll bands, it wasn't all fun and games, and the personality started to clash. Tell me, at what point, Andy, did things stop being the Police and they started being the Sting Show?
Yes, well, it's a fair enough point. I'd say it's about sort of halfway through touring with Ghost and Machine, and then we had to come up to the fifth album, Synchronicity album. Somewhere in there, I think we were starting to find it all very difficult. We were sort of separating out, you know. Although, you know, we were still the Police. We still had another album to make. Everybody was expecting us. They built kind of an industry around us, if you like.
Right.
But there was no getting out of it. And, you know, it's sort of ironic, and I've realized this over the last few years. Actually, you know, we signed up to A&M to make five albums. You know, that was the contract, and that's what we did. We made the five albums. We didn't get into, like, oh, well, are we going to make another five after this, you know, go on for the next 30 years or anything like that. We made the five albums that we were contracted to make, and that was sort of it, although, of course, they own all the records. So there was a sort of rather weird sort of anal retentive, neat and tidy thing going on, as well as all the difficulties of, well, as you said, we were a phenomenon. We weren't just a band with one little hit. It was a worldwide and a raging machine that we were dealing with.
Yeah, all right. And so you had your clashes with personalities, and Sting clearly was breaking out as he was the Greek god of music at the time. And I don't mean this as a personal dig at all. I don't mean it to be disparaging at all. I mean, I know who you are. I know who Stuart Copeland is. A lot of people do. But for the pedestrian music listener who reads People magazine, I think a lot of those people may know the name Trudy. I don't even know it. Help me with the Sting's wife's name. Trudy Schuyler, is that her name? Yeah. A lot of people might know that name before they know your name. Does that ever get under your skin?
That's never occurred to me. That's a fresh one. I've never heard that said before.
Well, I'm just imagining that might be the case. If it's not,
well,
I mean,
you're going to play guitar in the band, then that's what I say.
Yes, exactly. Fine. Right.
That's the head get on.
She could play for a long time. Ultimately the band broke up, and I apologize for the Trudy Schuyler thing. It was just a thought that occurred to me that people aren't all that tapped into stuff, but ultimately the band broke up. So what happened next for you?
Well, you know, of course there was a period of trying to process this amazing experience we've all been in for many years, came out of that, and it was like facing the abyss for a while, very difficult. But the way I sort of got over it was going back to music, going back to recording and sort of getting on with the job again. That's what I know how to do, and that's what I knew how to do. And I went back to recording, you know, and ultimately touring and, you know, continued life as a musician. That's really what put me back together.
Yeah.
After that incredible experience.
Put you back together. Does that imply you fell apart a little bit for a while?
Absolutely, yeah. When I think back about my sort of state of being back, post-police dissolution, it's, pretty incredible, actually. I was sort of drifting around like a ghost for a while there, I think, and then finally got back with it.
Yeah. A ghost out of the machine.
Right. Well, there you go, yeah. It's having to do the job and get back and be good and try and create art. That's you got something real to deal with rather than just, you know, being someone who's a bit famous, you know.
Yeah, and then there was the reunion. I imagine there were a lot of forces pushing for that to happen, business forces and others. But was everybody cool with it? I mean, you were older, more mature about stuff, all of you, or was it awkward or even crowded on the stage?
Yeah, and I like that you used the word cool, because that would be great. I don't know if we like cool. I mean, we got back into the, you know, you can talk about it as long as you want, but the reality is we got in a room together and we had to like do it again. And now it's not the playing of the music. I mean, we all do that standing on our head. It's the sort of psychological coming together, like we're really going to be a band. We're going to go out. We're going to be together. We're going to play this music and we're going to do it. And now how are we going to do that psychologically after all this time?
Because
it's a bit like going back to the classroom, like day one, and we're all in there with the teacher, like having to start all over again.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did deal with it. You know, it was a little rocky at the beginning. It wasn't easy. And, you know, you have to sort of hold on to your sense of self in the first few weeks. And, you know, it started to smooth out as we started to play. And, you know, suddenly we had this incredible success in our hands and off we went, you know. And that's really kind of what smoothed it all out.
I tell you, the trailer for Can't Stand Losing You, Surviving the Police is very compelling. We have it posted on our website on the show fun page.
Right.
And I can't wait to see it. And it's coming out soon. Is that correct?
It's out already, and it's on in two cinemas in Los Angeles at the moment. It's at the Lemley Royale in West Los Angeles, and it's at the, what do they call it, in Pasadena, Lemley in Pasadena.
Right. Okay, and you're doing a Q&A tomorrow in Southern California, isn't that correct?
Well, I'm doing one at the Lemley Royale on Sunday night, the 12th, and then Thursday night, the 16th.
Yeah, fantastic. All the best to you on this, and we're going to watch it for sure. And real quick, will there be another police reunion?
I think there will be.
Oh, you heard it here.
It's not shocking. I don't know why I'm saying that from a completely gut feeling about it, and I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right.
We seem to be cyclical.
Andy Summers, a pleasure to speak with you. Good luck with the movie, and thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, Phil.
That's it for hour one of the program. So much more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, our tech dude joins us live from the road with surprise subject matter that you can use. Hey, we have the 10 most common self-imposed drinking rules, and the man who makes Mad Men, so authentic, explains how he does it. The friends are, only some of them are here, as a matter of fact. Aaron is not here today. But Chris Martin is. And I'm Phil Hewlett. We thank you for tuning in, and we're going to get things rolling now. Chris has a whole stack of interesting and exciting stories, including this one. And I'm particularly interested in this because I think maybe I have this. There's a story now, and it's starting to make the rounds, and I'm not sure doctors are even willing to admit that this exists, but I've read about it a little bit on the internet. Tell us about, it's a little girl, right?
It is. It's a 17-year-old. I'm 17. I don't know if you're a little girl still at 17.
Okay, that's not a little girl. That's
you're an adolescent.
That's a grown lady, practically. Yeah.
But she discovered this issue when she was just a little girl, and what we're talking about is an allergy, and there's a lot of annoying allergies. There's a lot of harmful allergies out there, but I couldn't imagine one more annoying or harmful than this 17-year-old girl from Utah who is allergic to water.
Yeah. So,
like H2O.
Like jumping in the pool or the shower or whatever, and then what happens?
That's exactly how she discovered it. She's 12 years old. She's out with her parents on vacation. She swam in a hotel pool and then instantly started itching and burning and breaking out in hives. And she has been diagnosed with something called aquagenic urticaria. And she is one of 50 people in the known world that has this. It basically means you're allergic to water.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting. I brought this up to my dermatologist, and he said, I don't know anything about that. Yeah. And he said, maybe you want to see a neurologist. So what are you saying, Doc? You saying it's all in my head?
Yeah, yeah, or in your nerves.
Yeah.
Isn't a neurologist, is that where you go for your brain?
Sure, brain, nerves, nervous system, all of that stuff. But is he saying I'm nuts?
He's saying you have a psychosomatic issue.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or it is possible that you have an issue with water. You know, a lot of times people that think they have that, it could be like the soap that they use or the detergent in their clothes.
No, you know what?
So many things you could be allergic to.
You go online and read about the people that have this chronically, and I do not. You know, just it happens from time to time. But they try all these different things. They switch out their towel every shower, and they sometimes they air dry. They take a hot shower. They take a cold shower. They do all these different things. They don't use soap. They change the soaps. They do all kinds of different things.
They just start troubleshooting, the process of elimination.
And nothing changes the situation.
Yeah, they still just break out in some sort of hive or rash. And that's the bummer for this girl and for anybody that has this aquagenic urticaria, because rain, snow, sweat, tears, literally anything that has water will give these guys hives.
No fun.
Yeah, and here's what she had to do. Since the diagnosis, she became a vegan to reduce skin oils on her body, which apparently caused her to break out in hives.
Uh-huh.
She takes two or three very brief showers a week and does everything she can to avoid sweating.
Yeah.
And, of course, pools, you know. It doesn't go anywhere near those anymore.
She's probably invested in a great deal of talcum powder.
Yeah, if that's how you clear it up.
Yeah, maybe, just to feel a little cooler on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Oh, well, here's a story for you. You know, sometimes, teachers will say, if you read, if the school reads this many books, I'll sit on the roof or I'll shave my head or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids,
throw out a dare.
Encourages the kids to do that, and the principal goes up on the rooftop and shaves her head. And they love that. And in the meantime, something good has happened. They've read a bunch of books. There's something along those lines, but it's not a teacher and it's not a reading thing. What is it?
It's a police officer.
What does he want people to do?
A police officer from Toronto, Canada. What he really wants people to do is stop bullying and stop being homophobic and celebrate diversity. And he did it using Twitter and pink hair. So,
what?
Yeah. Here, I'll tell you how it works.
How's this work?
April 8th, which is today.
Yes.
Is it? Yeah, today is April 8th.
Or is it the 9th? Hang
on. I think today's the 9th.
Just double checking.
Although I will say that calendar on my laptop says it's the 8th.
Today's the 9th.
Wrong.
Thursday's April 9th.
So yesterday was a day of pink in Canada, the day of pink, and that's where they celebrate diversity. And this officer from Toronto, Luke Watson, with some help from the crew, promised he would dye his hair pink if they got 500 retweets with the hashtag stop bullying now and hashtag day of pink tweeter.
that was sent out. So, of course, he got 500 retweets within minutes of posting. So he dyed his hair pink almost immediately. Guy's a stud, by the way.
Yeah.
He's like 6'4", chiseled from stone, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of the intrigue comes from, too, because he's just a handsome guy.
So he wanted 500 retweets, and he would dye his hair pink. How'd he do?
Dye his hair pink. He got 500 retweets right away, and it became such a big story locally that they kept going. He promised to keep his hair pink for 7 days if they got to 1,000 retweets. And an additional day for every 100 retweets after that, which where we sit right now, and this was yesterday, he's at 2,500 retweets.
Really?
Yeah, so if we do the math, that's 2,500.
And it for about a month and a quarter.
Right now,
like
he's in it for about just over a half month. But, you know, I can only imagine it's growing. I haven't looked to check the update on it, but it's got to be over 2,500.
I'm glad you could do the math. Oh, man, that was rough. All right, well, that's good for him. We like that. He's doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't look bad with pink hair.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
All right. Yeah. Studley with the pink hair.
Yep.
All right. So another guy who's studly is this actor who some of you have heard of. He's going to be in the new Jurassic Park movie. What's his name?
Chris Pratt, must be talking about.
I must be talking about him.
He is the star of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Guardians of the Galaxy. He was just in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that movie made $1 billion.
So he's the latest heartthrob dude. Is that who he is?
Yeah, he's up there on the list. I think the girls swoon over him.
Yeah.
He was on Parks and Rec. He's actually a pretty funny guy on that show.
Yeah, so what's new with him?
Well, I thought this was interesting. We know he's going to be in the new Jurassic Park movie. And are you excited about the new Jurassic Park movie, Phil?
Well, you know what?
I only
saw the first one. I didn't see the other two. And I've been to the part of Hawaii where they filmed the thing. And so that's about as far as I go.
So then it's not like this one's grabbing your attention and saying, hey, you've got to get in theaters.
You're
and
looking
see this.
At me, Chris. I'm not a big movie guy.
Yeah.
You know, I've got 200 movies on my Netflix. And I watch one every 2 months or so.
But Ex Machina, you'll be all over that one.
Oh, that looks great. Yeah, because I got to get me a fembot one of these days. You think I can talk the wife into that?
Into getting a fembot?
Yeah, sure, because, you know, maybe I can get the fembot to clean up the house, and that would be a benefit to my wife. She wouldn't have to worry about that anymore. And you know, I help out with it naturally. But, hey, we're getting on in age, and one of these days we're going to drop, a bottle of cleaning fluid or something on our toe and break off a toenail, and that would be a bad thing. Slip and fall, break a hip. While you're cleaning the house, there's hazards. Get a fembot, and you don't have to worry about all of that. See, honey, I'm making sense, right? Great. We're going to get one?
I'm going to encourage you to not pitch that to your wife.
No?
Yeah, let's just keep that one here in the studio. Don't take that one home.
Yeah.
Just a little friendly advice.
All right, let me just double-check the instant message, see if she's listening.
Do you remember the theme song for Jurassic Park? Do you remember that original score?
Yeah, there in Jurassic Park, there are dinosaurs.
Na, 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 na. Yeah, John Williams. Did you know it has, you obviously know it has words, there are dinosaurs.
Oh, no, I didn't know it had words. This is what I always sung.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, it flows nicely in a melody. Well, Chris Pratt knows the words, and he's going to sing them to you right now.
Yeah?
It's Jurassic Park, it's Jurassic Park, and the dinosaurs will flip out and eat some.
Oh, he got eaten by a dinosaur.
Yep, so there's the words. Dinosaurs will flip out and eat someone, so run. Bet you didn't know that.
No, and they got him.
Now you know. I don't know. It sounds like it in that clip. I don't know. If the dinosaurs actually eat Chris Pratt, that would be a spoiler alert, Phil, and
yeah,
we don't subscribe to that type of behavior.
No, they wouldn't be able to make the movie ahead of time if the dinosaurs got them.
Well, movie hits theaters in early June, by the way, if you are interested.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will be. It's exciting. Hey, there's a new survey out, and according to this survey, 52% of us have rules for ourselves about drinking so that we don't turn into complete lushes.
Okay, I'm interested.
Interested in this? Okay.
Yes.
Here are the top 10 self-imposed drinking rules. Number one, not drinking at lunch. 22% of people said that.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, all right. But, you know, businessman's lunch, that whole thing, you know, go sit down, have a couple of martinis, and then eat your dinner, and then with your dessert, you have some kind of dessert drink.
Yeah, Sam Adams did a commercial about that. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, all right.
Boss orders a Sam Adams.
Sure, and then you got to order that, too.
Yeah, right.
Order what the boss orders.
Yep.
Only buying cheap wine, 20% say this, but couldn't that actually mean that you drink more if you buy cheap wine?
Yeah, I don't get that one.
But it's a rule about, it's a self-imposed drinking rule, only buy cheap wine.
Okay.
I used to say that I can't tell the difference, but somebody got us a really nice bottle of wine recently.
Red or white?
A Chardonnay.
Okay, good.
And, man, it was good.
Big difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did notice the difference, so I stand corrected.
I like a good Chardonnay.
Yeah. Apparently, I do, too. I didn't know that. Here's one. Not drinking if you have to work the next day. 19% people say that they won't drink on the night before work.
19%.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh. Almost 1 in 5.
1 in 5 are responsible.
Waiting until a certain time of day to have your first drink. Like never drinking before 5 o'clock. 18%.
Uh-huh. Well, then there's that rule. It's always 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's true. Not drinking certain things unless it's during the holidays. 17%. Like, you know, I won't have
Jaeger bombs.
Rum and eggnog until December.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's when you
In
mix
fact,
those
I'm
together.
Not a fan of it anyway, and I'm not going to have it ever again.
No,
probably.
I don't like eggnog without rum.
I don't get it. It's like, what? So why don't we just pour this on our faces and scare the kids?
Curdled milk. That sounds great.
Never mixing beer and liquor. 16%.
Yeah. What's the old motto, right? You say beer before liquor, you'll never be sicker.
Yeah.
Liquor before beer, and you're in the clear.
What would we do without you, Chris? I don't know. Only drinking wine with dinner, 15%. And it's not clear if that one means only drinking when you're eating or not drinking hard alcohol with dinner.
And then, you know, the rule for wine is if you're having red meat, then it's red wine. If you're having pasta or white meat, then it's Chardonnay.
So you know how to pair your wines with your meals, then.
That's how you're supposed to do it. Apparently, it goes better with your palate.
Yeah. All right. Always have a local beer when you're on vacation, 14%, which is more like a pro drinking rule. And I'm kind of like that. I go into a restaurant that is of a certain ethnicity, and I want to order the beer from the country represented at that restaurant.
Right. So if you're having sushi, you're going to get a Sapporo. If you're going to have Tecate if you're in a Mexican restaurant.
I go into the Chinese restaurant, I'll have the Tsingtao.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Or something more interesting, because Tsingtao apparently is the Coors of China.
Yeah, I had a Tsingtao when I was over there, and it was tasted like Coors.
Yeah, right. There you go. Avoid a certain drink you got hammered on once, 11%.
Mm-hmm. That's a good rule. And for most people, that's tequila.
And that's why I won't drink champagne all that much.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the final one. Wait until Friday night to have your first drink of the week, 10%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Makes sense?
It all makes sense to me. You got to do something to not be a lush.
Well, I'm glad, because sometimes things don't make sense to you, Chris.
Most things and most times don't make sense to me.
Like
a kid.
Like the story that you have for this, it's a sad story about a dog, and it just doesn't make sense, and we're going to hear that story next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Added.com. You're on our website, where there are all numbers of interesting items that will enhance your life and your listening pleasure. Go to the How to Listen page so you can figure out how to listen to this program live or watch it live, or you can register and have it downloaded instantly to your favorite podcasting listening device like iTunes or iHeart or Stitcher or Spreaker.
TuneIn. And by the way, somebody leave us something on that Spreaker icon. I want to hear that.
What's that?
Isn't there an icon where you can leave
that's something
you can
different.
Talk into it?
Oh, you know what?
That was a Spreaker.
No, Spreaker is something completely different. You know what that is? Hang on a second. I'll tell you what that's called.
I was thinking about leaving one myself this weekend when I was not following all the rules from that list we were reading earlier.
Yeah, the drinking rules?
Yes.
This is a deal on the website. There's a little blue tab on the right side of the webpage that says, leave us a voicemail. If you click on that, and this is absolutely free, and it's not free like internet free, where you got to hand over your email address and the name of your mom and a bank account and all that sort of thing. No, it doesn't ask for anything. It opens up a little dialogue, and if you have a microphone on your laptop or on your phone, you do on your phone, of course, or on your computer, you click on that, and you click the little record, and you can leave us a voicemail. And then if you like what you said, you just click send, and that's the end of the contract. There's nothing.
Bam, done.
You're done. And then you send us a voicemail, and we get it in our email inbox, and then we can listen to it and hear what you had to say. And if you have something compelling to say, well, why, hot dang, why don't we just put it on the air, on the program?
Yeah, I was really thinking about calling in this weekend with an Australian accent and telling you how much I liked Chris Martin on the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I'm sure you would have figured it out that was part of the ploy that I had going. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, huh?
Yeah,
should have kept that one in the bank.
Always keep your
creative
jokester stuff, creative mm-hmm. stuff, you know, close to the vest.
All right.
Now, here's a story that makes you sad just to hear about it. You know, there are people out there, there are idiots out there that want to fire off things, and they end up hurting somebody or something. And you see this story all the time. The guys out there with the crossbows, sure, you know, they're living close to nature and all that sort of thing, but you get a bunch of dummies sometimes, and you put a crossbow, and they start shooting at people's animals.
Yeah, and this one's going to make you sick, Phil. It's really gut-wrenching if you're an animal lover. And who's not, really? There's a 2-year-old retriever mix named Jenna. And Gemma, excuse me. And it's one of those beautiful, like, smoky gray retrievers. You know, they have the sort of the shorter hair, very
sure.
shiny,
yeah.
very shiny coat, beautiful eyes. Well, she recently wandered onto her property in Michigan, wobbling, and collapsed in the lawn with a crossbow arrow buried through her head.
Oh,
yeah. This arrow went through the top of her skull and out the roof of her mouth.
Ay, ay, ay.
But miraculously, it missed her brain and optic nerve, and the veterinarians were able to remove the arrow. She is currently in rehabilitation. She is doing okay and looks like she's going to recuperate completely.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
Right?
But are there pictures of the dog with the arrow?
Dude, there's pictures. There's videos. If you're at all squeamish, yeah, just Google Gemma or dog crossbow arrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's one of the most disturbing parts of the story, Phil. It was her owner that shot her.
What?
The owner says she was aggressively going after his other dog, which apparently he liked better,
yeah.
and said he shot her to put her down.
Why?
I don't know, but people are outraged.
Was the dog healthy?
Yo, he's a beautiful-looking dog, and then the thing is...
Why did he have to put it down? He couldn't afford the dog food?
Yeah, or why don't you take it to the animal shelter or something like that? Because the people at the veterinary hospital are saying right now she's not showing any signs of aggression. Now, you know, of course you don't want to indict somebody without knowing exactly what happened, but isn't that a little extreme?
Yes.
Aren't there other options besides shooting it with a crossbow?
Well, you know, if you had a dog like this one, maybe you would consider something like this guy did, but you'd still be an idiot for doing it. If you have a dog that has the ability to reach the counter... Like a dog like that one would be able to reach the
right.
counter. You know he'll try to get at any food you leave too close to the edge. Now, here's a case that turned out really, really bad. A family in London, that's in England, by the way, had some cookies cooling on the stove, and they left the house. Their dog, Leo, was home at the time, and obviously he wanted to get at those cookies.
Yeah. Who could blame him?
Yeah, but when he put his paws up on the stove, he accidentally turned it on, and a child's booster seat was touching the oven. So it eventually caught on fire, which spread to the entire house. And fortunately, the fire department got there quickly and was able to get Leo out, but the kitchen was completely destroyed.
I wonder if insurance covers that. Does insurance cover that?
No. And insurance doesn't cover if a dog sets your house on fire, is that an act of God or is it an act of dog? Do they have that in your policy?
I think if you pay enough for your policy, that might be covered.
And a new survey found 1 in 6 people buy their dog something when they go through the drive-thru.
What the?
And they're most likely to get him something from McDonald's, Burger King, or Wendy's.
Yeah, I want a double quarter pounder for Butch over here.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, if you're at McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King, whatever it is, apparently your kids will be thrilled because they hate vegetables so much, they'd rather eat anything else, literally anything.
I can relate. When I was a kid. Anyway.
Really?
A
new survey found that 71% of our kids under the age of 10 say they hate eating vegetables. Hate it. That's a strong word, but that's the word they used. But 18% said they'd like to try eating worms. 12% said they'd try a caterpillar. And 12% said they would try snails.
Before they would try a tomato. Oh, yeah. Wait, is that a vegetable?
Now, the survey didn't give a breakdown of boys or girls, but I think we can all assume which gender is more likely to eat bugs unless something has really changed since we were kids.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. It's girls. They'll eat anything. They will eat anything.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I'm just checking to see if our tech guy has checked in. Oh, he has, as a matter of fact.
What does he say?
Ooh.
Huh?
He's got three reasons why the Apple Watch might actually flop.
Yeah, okay, good.
And that's coming from our Apple guy.
I have 10 more reasons.
Do
but
you?
Yeah.
All right. Considering the last program, we were talking about how they cause cancer.
Yes, that one's on the list.
All right. Jeremy Antecuni, our tech guy, joins us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, here we go. Going to talk some tech now with our tech guy. He's the head of mobile at Apogee. He's out there traveling, no doubt, looking the world over for the best ideas for the latest app. It's Jeremy Antecuni. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, gang. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, just a quick app thing for you. There's a new study that found free versions of apps cost you more than the paid versions in the long run. It's because the ads in the free apps use a lot of network data.
Well, that's possible, and also the in-app purchases obviously certainly add up. Obviously, when a lot of people aren't willing to purchase an app and would rather get a free app to try it out and use it before they decide to spend money.
They say here it costs you about a 1.7 cents every time you open up a free app, and if you use one every day for a year, that's $6.20 in data.
Interesting. Yeah, that's why AT&T can pry my grandfathered unlimited data plan from my cold, dead fingers.
Must have been listening yesterday, huh?
Yeah, the last of the previous show. Very good. And also on the previous show, we had a doctor who came on who was pretty adamant about wearable tech, specifically watches from Apple and Samsung or whoever else is going to dominate the marketplace. And he said, I wouldn't wear them if I were you because the jury's out as to whether they are going to cause cancer. But now there's you have a new report with some pretty good reasons why Apple's watch might not be as successful as Apple would like it to be. Isn't that right?
Well, a company called Argus Insights has published some findings basically showing that over the last 6 months, interest has been waning for the Apple Watch. Around the launch event, there was a lot of excitement and chatter about it, but apparently over the last 6 months, the majority of people really haven't been paying much attention to it. They say that among men aged 18 to 24, 27% are likely to buy an Apple Watch. Yeah. But more interesting was the women's number. The same age group, only 10% of women were interested in picking up one of these watches.
Too bulky for women. For one, I think, women always wear those like slimline watches that are very petite to fit their wrist, and I don't think you can get that slimline with an iWatch.
Well, I'm thinking I can't see the screen. It's going to be too small for me to appreciate it.
Well, the larger model is fairly decent sized. I think you'll be surprised when you take a look at it. It's 42 millimeters, so it's a decently sized watch, and they do have a 38 millimeter size, which is more in the line of a traditional or classic watch.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing that came out was that Apple is going to be doing away with the lineups outside of Apple stores for launch day products, and instead they're going to make you go online and reserve the product before you go in and pick it up. And so they're actually going to be kind of ending an era where people would go and wait and camp out oftentimes in front of a store to get the new products.
Yeah, wow. How about that? Oh, by the way, new products from Apple, they released their new emojis today. Did you hear about that?
I haven't. I've been traveling all day.
There are four different groups that are absolutely outraged. Apple has five new races of emojis, but no redheads. So the gingers are outraged. Wow. So far, they have a petition to get a ginger emoji. They have 6,000 signatures so far.
There's no pleasing everybody.
Yeah. Believers, the prayer hands emoji used to show two hands clasped together with rays of sun emanating from them. Now the rays are gone, so it just looks like a high five. Taco lovers, there are a ton of food emojis, but no tacos.
Well, that upsets me, too.
That's a travesty.
Yeah, and late adopters. Some people have updated their iPhones, some have not. And if you haven't and your friend sends you one of the new racially diverse emojis, it comes up as an old white person version of that emoji followed by an alien head.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you use emojis, Jeremy?
You know, I don't make a habit of including them in every conversation, but, you know, I'll occasionally add a smiley face. That's pretty much the extent of it. I use the first screen of emojis. I don't really venture too far deep in there.
I'll tell you what you use. You use drones.
I love drones.
Do they have a drone emoji?
No, I don't know.
Not yet.
They're making drones better and better, aren't they, Jeremy?
They are, but we should first start a petition to get that emoji going. DJI, who is the maker of the Phantom drones, and even if you don't know them by name, you've seen their drones. They're the classic white quadcopter that you probably see everywhere. They've released the third version of their popular Phantom model. This time, they're upgrading the video. So going from full HD, now it supports 4K video. And of course, they've got that magical 3D gimbal, which is how the camera attaches to the drone and keeps the video just perfectly stable, even if you're in wind or moving around. That's really, really cool stuff. Oh. They've also added something called ultrasound navigation. Now, previously, you needed to have a GPS signal, and that's how it actually determines how to keep itself righted and how it keeps itself flying in one spot. Indoors, that could be a problem because it's oftentimes hard to get a GPS signal. But with the new ultrasound navigation, it's able to actually detect where it is in relation to the ground and be able to have a much steadier flight indoors. They've also updated some of the other software and added some new autopilot modes. And of course, this will all set you back about $1,000 to about $1,300 if you wanted to get yourself into what is really a fantastic drone.
Yeah, so definitely learn how to fly one or find somebody that can fly it for you because you don't want to crash it in a block wall if it's going to cost you $1,400.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with these things is that they're so easy to fly. You pick it up and you can fly it. Anybody can pick it up and start flying it right away. It takes forever to master it, but you kind of have this problem where you're overconfident. As soon as you start flying, this is a piece of cake, and then you crash the thing. So
yeah, right.
Definitely, you know, take it easy at first when you start flying these things. It is a tremendous amount of fun, and the video you can capture on these drones with the 3D gimbals is just absolutely stunning.
Are you on the wait list?
I want to get the Inspire 1, which is the kind of the next step up. It's the more commercial version. It's the one that has the retractable arms that come up and down.
Yeah.
It's way too expensive though.
Oh yeah, what? 4 like grand,
three,
5 grand?
3 grand.
3 grand. Is there a cockpit where you could put a hamster?
You know, I'm sure somebody has tried that. Now we're going to be pissing off PETA, right? So
why not?
You know, you're talking about the video quality too, Jeremy. I was watching something. They were recreating Julie Andrews on that hillside for Sound of Music. And they were talking about how back when Julie Andrews was doing that, there was actually they were filming from a helicopter. And the helicopter had to get so close it blew her down to the ground several times. And then they were showing how when they were recreating it, now they're just literally just using drones that are holding it, excellent digital imagery in perfect still motion, 20 feet in the air, and they don't even make a noise.
Yeah, they're absolutely amazing. Yeah. And even though they're supposedly, very few availability for people to use them commercially, if you keep an eye out, if you kind of recognize what a drone shot looks like, you'll start seeing them all over TV, all over commercials, in TV shows. So even though they're not supposed to be being used for commercial purposes, it's happening, and the FAA needs to really get behind it and make it happen.
Yep, Jeremy Antacone, I'm with you, and thank you very much. We'll talk some more tech with you next week.
Until next time.
All righty. Thank you very much.
I want to see him in sports, on sports fields, football games, baseball games.
Yeah, that's smart. Instead of those cameras on the wires.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, did you catch the first episode of the final season of Mad Men on AMC? It really is. It's a very good show if you've never seen it. And if you have and you love it, it's because it is so authentic in so many ways. And there's a reason for that. We speak with one of the co-producers of the show next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. This past Sunday, AMC began the slow process of saying goodbye to Mad Men with a Mad Men marathon. And at night, the first of 7 episodes in what will be the final season of the very popular show. And when you watch Mad Men, and if you know anything about sales, especially advertising sales and the ad business, you see right away there's a great deal of authenticity, and clearly there is somebody behind the show who knows what he or she is talking about. And joining us now is a man whose name is seen when the credits roll at the end of each episode as co-producer of Mad Men, Josh Weltman. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
You have a book out called Seducing Strangers, which is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And I want to find out more about that in a moment, but I need to ask you about Mad Men. I get the sense that every piece of dialogue has your seal of approval on it before it goes to tape. Is that right?
Oh, no, it's not that way at all. Every piece of dialogue has Matt Weiner's seal of approval on it. But, you know, it's one of those things where he's such a stickler for detail. He's the executive producer and creator of the show, that he wanted advertising consultants to work with the writers and executive producers from day one to make sure that the process of coming up with ads and servicing clients was accurately portrayed in the show. And he was also very insistent that Don Draper, the main character of the show, be good at his job. So, you know, that's always something that he's wanted to do.
Right. And so in tapping your experience, I mean, you know a thing or two. You've been around the street. You, in fact, are a madman, aren't you?
I am. I'm the ad man on Mad Men.
That's right. About 25 years experience, if I read correctly. And one thing I notice, Josh, when I watch Mad Men, is Don Draper, and many of the other Mad Men, for that matter, rarely answer a question with an answer. Most of the time, they answer with another question. Classic sales technique. Is it my imagination, or is that a conscious effort?
I think it's a conscious effort. It's a way to find out more about your prospect, to keep them talking, you know, kind of thing, while you're thinking. Is one of the things that I always do if I'm asking more questions. I think nothing makes you look smarter to a client than asking smart questions and appearing to listen and delve and being interested in what they're doing and selling.
Certainly. And that springboards nicely into a conversation about your book, Seducing Strangers, where you show readers how to get people to do things. And I imagine asking questions is part of it, right?
Oh, sure. I think that, you know, the difference between selling and talking about your products and services and seducing is that selling, you're really concentrating on what it is that you've got, and seducing, you're figuring out what it is people want to hear about themselves, and figuring how your product can be sort of shoehorned into a message about them.
Yeah, and I want to explore that a little more, if we could drill it down to the basics, and you do that to a degree in your book when you say advertisers use a handful of techniques to essentially make us happy. Is that all it takes to get us to buy a product or service, is make us happy?
Well, I think that happiness happens when, you know, expectations are met or exceeded by reality. And I think that advertising is what companies use to set expectations for their products and services. And when those products and services meet or exceed those expectations, then they get happy customers. So I think that is the end result, you know.
Give me an example of how an ad can make me happy.
Well, I don't think it's just the ad. I think it's exactly that. It's the combination of the ad showing you something that you think will please you or delight you, and when you actually get your hands on the thing, it's even better than you expect. You know, that's how you end up with happy customers. I don't think it's either the product or service by itself or the ad by itself. I think you need it's like a setup and a punchline.
And to that degree, are we, most of us, that is, except the absolute total cynics, who immediately question the motive of the pitch man or woman or the company that's delivering the message, are we essentially waiting to hear those words? And can those words make just about anybody happy and put them in a position to want to buy that product or service?
I think that what the advertisers are trying to do is figure out what words or what you're looking for. Where's the hole in your life or experience or what can they possibly do to make you happy? And what is happiness to the customer? And then design products and services that kind of will fill that for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Now your book is not just for people who have Dale Carnegie and Zig Ziglar books and
right.
tapes on their shelf. I mean, it's for anybody, right?
I think so. That's what I'm hearing. You know, it's really for what happened. You know, as we sort of switched from an industrial economy to an information economy, is, you know, in the industrial world, it was the advertising agencies and ad men that were tasked with being the champions of products and services, and now in the information age. You know, that's what everybody does. We're all trying to convince somebody somewhere to do something, you know, even if it's someone at the end of a conference table that we're trying to convince with a PowerPoint presentation to see things our way, you know. So that's what the book is about. It's talking about how messages that persuade people work.
And in this digital day and age, how different is it to deliver a persuasive message?
Everybody knows how to send 140 characters to anyone in the world, but they don't really know how to craft a persuasive message using 140 characters. So they're more familiar with the technology than they are with the principles of persuasion. And the second thing is that the changes are happening so quickly. Even people who are steeped in marketing and experienced advertisers or salespeople don't know what to use when everything is changing so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, how do you make a decision?
It's difficult, but there are constantly trailblazers in every business, and advertising
sure.
certainly is one of them. And one final question: are you going to be a little sad to see Mad Men go?
Oh, sure. It's been the best job to have in advertising for the last 8 years. To be the ad man on Mad Men has absolutely been an honor, and it's been fantastic to be a part of it. And everybody from Matt Weiner and all the writers I got to work with and the actors and the production people, they're so talented and so devoted to the story and the show. It's been an honor.
And I imagine the finale is locked up real tight. You don't have to tell me how the show ends, but do you know how it ends?
I do.
Ooh. Every
just
man
talking
has
to someone who knows that's fun enough. Huh?
Yeah, it is. And every man has his price. I wonder if there'll be people knocking at your door.
Sure.
And you'll answer their question with a question, I'm sure.
Right.
Josh Weltman, a pleasure to speak with you. And thank you for all the seasons of Mad Men. And we'll look forward to a lot of success with your book, Seducing Strangers, and more books to come, sir. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How about that? He knows, huh? But he's not going to tell us.
There was a brief pause there where you thought he might open up,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But no.
He's not going to tell.
Mm-mm.
You're kidding?
He's keeping that close to the vest.
But see, now you know that somebody knows. And so, what, waterboarding? Can we get it out of him?
Are you saying he's seducing us, Phil?
Perhaps he is.
What it feels like. I feel like I've been seduced. Yeah.
I feel like I need to go back and watch the entire, how many seasons?
I don't know. How long has Mad Men been on? A while now.
Five or six.
I was catching it at the beginning.
5 or 6 seasons, something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty good show. I've watched a couple to gear up for this because I'm not a big watcher.
Yeah.
So I watched a few episodes on Sunday when they were doing the marathon. And I tell you, I more or less got hooked. It's a good show.
Yeah. And you know what it is? It's different, too. They film it different. The mm-hmm. the dialogue and the writing's different. The air is different. It's not like anything
else
out there.
And you watch it if you're among the Mad Men unwashed. You'll say, man, this is really sexist. But if you were around in those days, that's how everybody was.
Right.
You know, if a lady had an opinion, she needed to calm down. That's what the guys would tell you. You're being hysterical. Just calm down. Here, take a sleeping pill.
And a lot of demands, a lot of demanding from women, too. You know, yeah. They were all wearing sort of the tight skirts and dresses in the office, and it was like, bring me my ashtray, pour me a drink.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah. Hey, back in January, there was a guy in Missouri. His name is Kevin Purs. He owns a company in Kansas City that sells construction supplies. And he's done pretty well for himself to do something pretty cool for someone else recently. He graduated high school 37 years ago, but he's always remembered what his teachers did for him. So back in January, he sent a letter to his home economics teacher from high school, his home ec teacher. Mm-hmm. Do they even make you take home ec anymore?
They should.
Yeah. Her name was Marilyn Meekum. She's 62 now. And back when Kevin had her, it was her first year teaching. Then she eventually became the executive director of a charity called the Mentors Foundation. Anyway, Kevin's letter said that when he and his friends get together for reunions, they still talk about what a great teacher she was. And he also included a check for $10,000. Hmm. And he knows she works for a charity, but he wanted her to spend the money on herself. So she's planning a trip to Sweden and Norway soon. How about that, huh?
Awesome.
That is awesome.
Like that.
Yeah.
$10,000, that's the limit, right? That's the minimum amount you can gift to somebody.
Without getting dinged on your taxes?
Yeah, before Uncle Sam steps in and grabs his piece.
Being so cynical, he just gave her 10 grand.
Yeah, I'm just saying if it was 15 grand, Uncle Sam gets his hands on it.
I guess so. Yeah. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at FAFShow, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Leave us a voicemail on the website. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. For Aaron Myers, for Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you again next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.